Now, back to Real Ghost Stories Online, live.
855-853-4802, the phone number if you'd like to call in your ghost story. We would love to hear it. I'll read one here. Let me just get the prompter activated. Put on my glasses because I've aged. I've aged over the years. All right. This is the letter. It says, when my wife Claire and I bought the house in 2006, it wasn't because it was perfect. It was because it was available within our budget and close enough to my job in Greensboro, North Carolina, that I would make the drive in under an hour, a half an hour. It was an older split level on Willow Bend Road, built in the late 1960s with avocado green kitchen counters and a backyard that sloped down into a stand of trees. The realtor called it quiet and charming. My father called it dated, but it had three bedrooms, hardwood floors under the shag carpet, and a screen porch where Claire swore she'd drink her coffee every morning. We didn't talk about ghosts. We talked about paint colors, furniture, and how we'd finally have room for the baby we'd been trying for. The first month was fine, normal, new house, headaches, leaky faucet in the upstairs bath, a breaker that tripped whenever you ran the microwave and a toaster at the same time, and a smell in the basement that we blamed on mildew. Nothing we couldn't handle. Nothing that felt strange. Then little things started happening. I'm methodical by nature. Every night I put my wallet, phone, and keys in the small wooden bowl we keep in my front door. One morning, my keys weren't there. I tore the house apart, couch cushions, pockets, jackets, even the grass outside in case I dropped them the night before, and nothing. Claire found them 2 hours later on the back steps, sitting neatly as though someone had placed them there. You probably left them when you took out the trash, she said. But I had taken out the trash. It was the first time I felt the hair rise on the back of my neck in that house. Claire worked from home 3 days a week. She started mentioning noises. Someone's walking upstairs when you're gone, she told me once. Slow, heavy steps back and forth. I tried to explain it away. Old house creak, wood expands. You're just hearing that. She didn't argue. But the look on her face told me she wasn't convinced. One afternoon while I was mowing the yard, I glanced up at the bedroom window for the briefest second. I thought I saw someone standing there, a man, tall, shoulders squared, and by the time I blinked, the window was empty. I told myself it was a trick of the lights. We adopted a rescue dog that summer, a beagle mix named Jasper. He was sweet but skittish, afraid of loud noises still. He loved people and would wag his tail at anyone who came through the door, except in that house. More than once, Jasper would freeze in the hallway, staring into the darkened stairwell. His tail would tuck his body low, and then he'd bolt back into the living room, whining. One night, he refused to come upstairs with us. I had to carry him the entire time. He trembled against my chest. Animals don't imagine things, I kept telling myself. But I wasn't sure I believed it. It was late August, humid enough that our windows fogged. Claire and I had gone to bed when she shook me awake. There's someone in the hallway, she whispered. Half asleep, I grabbed the flashlight we kept by the bed and swung it towards the door. Nothing. I saw him, she insisted, a man standing there just looking in. Her voice broke on that last word. Claire isn't the kind to spook easy. I knew she'd seen something. That was the night I started keeping the bedroom door shut. The basement was unfinished, concrete floor, exposed beams, a single dangling light bulb. We mostly used it for storage, but sometimes I'd go down to run laundry. One evening, while carrying a basket of clothes, I felt the strangest sensation, as if someone were walking right behind me, matching my pace. I turned quickly, but of course the steps stopped. The bulb swayed slightly overhead as though it had been touched. I hurried upstairs, leaving the clothes half damp in the dryer. Claire saw it first, a black shape, solid, like a person stepping just out of sight around the corner. She screamed, and when I came running, there was nothing. I saw it 2 weeks later. I was sitting in the den watching TV when I caught movement by the doorway. A figure, tall and dark, gliding past. I jumped up, certain someone had broken in, but when I checked, the house was empty. We didn't joke about it anymore. The activity grew stranger as the months went on. Our bedroom clock radio would turn on in the middle of the night, always tuned to static. We'd find doors standing wide open in the morning that we knew we'd closed. Jasper once barked so ferociously at the stairwell that the neighbors called to check if we were okay. A framed picture of Claire's parents lifted off the wall and clattered to the floor while we were eating dinner one time. By then, even I couldn't pretend it was just old house noises. We finally asked our neighbor, Mrs. Wilkins, about the house. She'd lived on the street since the 1970s. "You bought the old Myers place," she said matter-of-factly. "Poor family. They had a son, died young, 17, maybe 18. He worked nights at a machine shop. One morning, they found him in the basement." She lowered her voice. "Suicide. Hung himself from a beam." I felt cold all over. The basement, the footsteps, the shadows. One night in November, Claire and I were in bed when we heard it, a voice, male, low, muttering words we couldn't make out. It came from the hallway. Jasper whimpered from his spot on the rug. I grabbed a flashlight and opened the door for half a second, and I saw him, a tall young man, head tilted down, hair hanging in his face. He looked solid, as real as any person. Then he was gone. The light showed nothing but an empty hallway. Claire packed an overnight bag that same night, and we stayed at her sister's for the week. We didn't move right away. Selling a house isn't easy, and part of us still hoped it might quiet down. But the activity never stopped. Sometimes it was small, keys in the wrong place, doors standing open. Sometimes it was heavier, the sound of boots pacing upstairs, the black shape at the edge of vision, and the smell of cigarette smoke in rooms where no one had smoked. We learned to talk to him. Claire would say out loud, "We know you're here. Please leave us be." Once, when I couldn't find my glasses, I muttered, "Can you put them back, please?" A few hours later, they were on the dresser exactly where I always left them. I don't know if it helped, but it made us feel less helpless. We sold the house 2 years later when our son was born. On the last night, standing in the empty living room, I said quietly, "You don't belong to us. You don't belong with us, rather. Stay here. Be kind to the next family." I don't know if he listened. Sometimes when I drive through that part of town, I slow and I pass Willow Bend. The house looks the same. The green counters, same sagging porch. I wonder if the new family hears footsteps in the night or if the young man in the basement finally found peace. I never tell them, though. If they asked, maybe I'd do what the man who sold it to me did when I asked him the same question. I'd smile, hesitate, and say, "No, nothing strange at all." There you go.
Because he wanted to sell it.
I mean, is anybody ever going to answer that question honestly? If you're, it's not like you have to disclose a haunting.
In some states, I think it's like three, but you're supposed to disclose a haunting if the house is haunted.
It's like somebody, literally in some states, if you ask, they have to tell you.
Yeah.
If
haunted or dead.
Dead. You're right.
Yeah.
You're right.
Because that you can find. There's that website. I think it's Died in House or something. I'm not even kidding. And they're not advertisers, but there you go. Diedinhouse.com, I believe, is the website. Yeah, I've used it.
And everything about this house and the story, I love. Like, it sounds perfect for me. I love the avocado countertops. I love the old shag carpeting. If I could find a split level that looked like that, I would be gone so fast. It's not even funny. Go ahead.
I was going to say, do you remember like going to like open houses like in the 90s and there were so many of those that were still around, and now it's like you cannot find them at all.
I know, because so many people have upgraded them and it's no longer retro or anything like that. I hope that the spirit there found some peace, you know? Sounds like that young man probably wasn't the happiest person in the world. And maybe he did end up finding peace.
It makes me sad that he would go to such an extreme, I would think, to find peace, you know, because he was desperate. And then to not find peace after that makes me sad for him.
Yeah.
And I wonder if it was all him or if there was other things going on too. But to find that out, I would associate all of it with him, obviously.
The only way we'd know, Carol, is if we got a Ouija board out and we actually summoned up whoever was there and said, name yourself.
Kind of thing. Love a good summoning night with a glass of wine and a little summoning.
We can use like this. You're limited to a certain amount of letters, but I got the mind of mass killers here. Like that might be, you know, they could spell it using the killers. You know,
sure.
You only got so many letters. You guess a lot of letters probably. You might, you could figure it out. What could we use? How about this vape? There's the planchette.
So did Todd and I just think about it really hard right now? Is that what we're doing? Like I'm putting my hand on your vape.
Okay. Yep. Here we go. Here we go. Ready?
And I'm just thinking really hard.
What's going to happen here?
I'm going to say something about milk.
About milk?
Mind of a killer.
Oh my God, mist just came through my mouth. The spirit just came through.
Oh, so intense you had to get a drink.
That's holy water.
Oh, good.
Listen, if that were holy water, you'd be bursting into flames right now. Don't give me that.
As we play Ouija. Yeah. There's probably a lot of odds for that there, Todd. I think,
That I can imagine.
Thanks for watching and listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. Be sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any of the many ghost stories that we put out to you multiple times a day, 365 days a year, right here at Real Ghost Stories Online. And share your real ghost story with us as well. You can call in 24/7 at 855-853-4802 or write in on our website at realghoststoriesonline.com. Subscribe, share your story, and then come back and watch us live Monday nights, 8 p.m. Central on our YouTube channel for Real Ghost Stories Online Live. And hit subscribe so you don't miss any of those episodes that we put out for you all week long right here at Real Ghost Stories Online.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba. No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.